Iran has just marked its 40th anniversary since the Islamic Revolution. This is quite an achievement, one that comes with admiration for many, but to the dismay of some, like the U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton. He has said that Iran would not see its 40th year in power. In this edition of the debate, we will look at the U.S. anti-Iran policies, which has spanned for decades, and how the U.S. has miscalculated Iran throughout all this time.
Iranians hold nationwide rallies to mark the 40th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution. The demonstrators pledged allegiance to the ideals of the Islamic Revolution while condemning the U.S. and Israel for plotting against their country. They also said the Iranian nation will not buckle down under the U.S. pressure and sanctions.
I've learned to fight for our land, for Iran. I've learned not to capitulate to the U.S. ever.
May God have such a mercy on us to be grateful of the revolution and its blessing. We will defend this revolution and its ideals to our last breath.
Hailing the mass participation of people in the rallies, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani said the turnout shows that enemies have failed in their plots against the Iranian nation.
This year, we are celebrating the anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, while the criminal U.S., the Zionists, and the regional reactionaries have intensified the pressure of sanctions on our people through their conspiracies. So today, the presence of people on the streets across the nation means that the years-long plots of the enemies have been foiled. This turnout also shows that the enemies will never achieve their evil objectives.
Rouhani noted that Iran will boost its military power and missile capabilities despite mounting pressure from hostile countries. It's been 40 years since the Iranian nation succeeded in bringing down the regime of the Shah, who was a staunch ally of the U.S. Since then, Washington has been doing whatever possible to harm the Iranian government and nation. In 2017, John Bolton, who is currently U.S. National Security Advisor, said, "What many of us in the United States are working toward is that the Ayatollah Khomeini's 1979 revolution will not last until its 40th birthday." He made the comments in Paris at a gathering of the MKO, a terrorist organization responsible for the killing of thousands of Iranians. U.S. officials have adopted an extremely hostile policy toward Iran under the Trump administration, with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo pledging to starve Iranians until they give in to Washington's demands. The Islamic Republic, however, has managed to withstand all the pressure and maintain its independence thanks to its people's unflinching support.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, former American intelligence linguist Scott Rickert, joins us from Tampa. We have editor at Veterans Today, Mike Harris, who joins us from Phoenix. Gentlemen, welcome. And let me start with you, Scott Rickert. We're looking at Iran marking its 40th year since the Islamic Revolution. And at this point, obviously, it was a great day in the way that Iranians turned out to show not only their admiration for the revolution, which many had their parents actually fight for, but it's interesting to see some of the reactions coming. The reaction coming from the U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton is that Iran's Islamic Revolution meant four decades of failure. Do you agree with him?
Well, absolutely not. Obviously, when you look at the success of Iran over the past 40 years, it's been tremendous. You look at the growth of the economy despite tremendous sanctions. Look at the growth of the industries. The industries have become far more advanced than anyone else in the region, considering the decimated economy when the Shah was pushed out, rightfully so. And also comparatively to what's happened, let's say, in Venezuela, with only 20 years ongoing sanctions, and the seriousness of the black market and corruption that we see in that country, unfortunately, that's caused one of the most devastating economic failures in the history of the world. And then also the other one to compare to is North Korea, that's also been under sanctions for 60 years, the longest standing sanctions in modern times. So I would say it's a magnificent success The success that's gone on in Iran has just been tremendous. The ties that they have in the region obviously have shown to be very peaceful and very useful to the sovereignty of their neighbors and certainly their allies. So I would say, unfortunately, the U.S. has a tremendously biased opinion and also has created a tremendous propaganda network. I mean, just recently they've promoted a Fox News correspondent to be the head of propaganda for the State Department, working for Pompeo, a CIA propagandist. So, you know, we don't get the truth in the United States, and certainly I don't expect anything other than the falsehoods coming out of John Bolton's mouth.
Well, Mike Harris, you know, it's hard to obviously sum up four decades of Iran's revolution to have prevailed in the way, form, and manner that it did. But I'm curious as to the obviously animosity that exists between Iran and the U.S. I mean, they clash on many ideological issues, but many say it's because Iran doesn't yield to the U.S. to become a puppet state for the U.S. What does that mean exactly?
Well, first, let me congratulate the Iranian people on the anniversary of their Independence Day. This is indeed something we're celebrating, and congratulations to every Iranian. But your commentary here that the animosity between the USA and Iran is really unfounded. The U.S. did have the Shah installed there. That happened back in 1953 when they overthrew and deposed the duly elected prime minister and really upset the democratic process in Iran. So we've got these 40 years later, and the animosity is still there. What the U.S. government and U.S. institutions need to realize is that Iran is a prime market for the U.S., and we should all be interested in transactional business here and commerce. That's really what it's all about. And so I'm surprised with President Trump that he is sticking with the neocon line that's been in place now since 1979, that the new management of Iran is bad and we have to depose them, instead of trying to find a way to benefit the American people and the Iranian people. Now, one thing that's really key to note here, Iran has withstood these sanctions for 40 years. The net effect of this has been to make Iran a stronger and more independent country. They're not interdependent like the rest of the global economy is. They've had to develop key industries to sustain their own people and to sustain their government. And that makes Iran stronger in the long term. And I congratulate them on that as well.
So how much longer do you think that this is going to go on, Scott Rickard? I know it's a bit of speculation here, but it's been 40 years, and of course everybody is aware by now what John Bolton said, and I hate to just keep quoting him, but his statements are prime for noting it here. And he said, the marking of the Islamic Revolution's anniversary in the U.S. carries special significance after he said that the Ayatollah Khomeini's 1979 revolution will not last until his 40th birthday. Obviously, he must be very dismayed, but is the U.S. and the path that is gone, which is met with failure, why doesn't the U.S., learn from its lessons and maybe try a different strategy?
Well, the U.S. has had the same strategy, obviously, for the last century. During their relationships with their allies, the French and the British, per se, from the beginning of the early 1900s, and certainly continuing that relationship with British allies, they've adopted a British foreign policy. And the British foreign policy has been incredibly aggressive over the last five centuries, looking at the way that they've manipulated not only Iran since the 1800s. I mean, Reuters acquired all the resources in Iran in the 1800s, stealing from the Iranian people way before any of the minds and thoughts that go between anybody's mind here in the United States and elsewhere in the world. So there is a history of the Iranian people being unfortunately abused by Western powers. And these Western powers have been dominating the world for over 500 years. So I really don't see an end to it because of the nature in which the world operates. The banking infrastructure that backs these governments are the drivers of these interventionism type of events. We see it clearly in Venezuela today with the work that the banking infrastructure has done there and the massive amounts of investment that they have in the oil industry in Venezuela out of the United States alone. So I think one of the things that protects Iran from failing and makes it a succeeder in this case is the fact that they've maintained autonomy of their industries. At the same time, they've also kept their distance from allies in that sense. So there is a great amount of trust between the Iranian people, I believe, and their government, and I think that's rightfully so. I would hope that the Iranian people would see the fact that their government has been tremendously manipulated for so long and get behind whatever government they can find that will hold them sovereign. I like the comments that came out of Rouhani today, said that he would actually open the media and open dialogue because he really wants to have people, you know, find a discussion and speak their mind and learn the truth, so that people can speak more intelligently and understand when they're actually being propagandized from external sources.
The closest that I can see, I may be wrong, Mike Harris, of the U.S. Telling Iran of what it was a list of demands that was made by Mike Pompeo months ago, that if Iran was to meet these demands, then, you know, there's going to be a way for I guess for the two countries to start some kind of relationship. And of course, that was met by stiff resistance from Iran. You say that you're surprised that the Trump administration has not approached Iran on the economic side of things. What do you think is preventing Trump from going after Iran in that respect?
Well, what I think preventing it is the vested interest of the powers that be. There is a large school of thought here, the neocon school, that looks at Iran as the next target. This plain and simple, they're the next country that they want to impose regime change on. But Iran has an opportunity here. In last week, Iran suggested to the world that you make the entire Middle East a nuclear-free zone. And that is a win-win for everybody. The U.S. should be willing to support that, the U.S. will keep their nukes out, Israel will disarm or at least declare what they've got in their inventory, and that Iran will do the same, that people come clean, that you don't want to live in a nuclear-proliferated region. It's not good for anybody's health. That would be a good start, and from there you can take it into the economic discussions. There's lots of U.S. technology, there's lots of U.S. Commercial interests that would do well in Iran, and you know, it would serve the American people. It would give us more customers, more consumers out there, particularly on everything from jet engines to washers and dryers and stoves. You know, there's just a huge market that is going unaddressed by the United States, and Iran has something the U.S. wants. They've got the fourth largest known reserves of oil in the world, and let's do business, let's do commerce, let's be friends, let's don't fight with each other. There's no upside in that. Everybody loses.
Well, that sounds like one approach, Scott Rickard. What do you think? I mean, do you think that's something that could work when it comes to Iran?
Well, maybe at Disneyland. Unfortunately, that's not the way the United States operates. Unfortunately, the United States basically cuts deals and backs out. You know, at the same time, you see a tremendous amount of betrayal on the United States part. Look what they did with the JCPOA. Now look what they've done to Assad when they had Assad give up his chemical weapons. They continue the fight over and over again. There's no benefit in cutting a deal with the United States. Now, from a supply side economic perspective, absolutely. It would be great if the United States would stop manipulating the market, stop devaluing the Iranian currency, and continue a fair trade policy and do supply side economics. That the Iranian economy would boom. You would see one of the fastest fastest growing economies on Earth. Unfortunately, the United States would not like to see that. The United States is very threatened by booming economies because the United States suffers from $150 trillion in commercial debt and $20 trillion in governmental debt. We are the most in-debt nation in the history of the world, and our economy is always teetering on failure. We have to borrow $1 trillion every year. So obviously, having booming economies and providing a fair trade environment with countries that can easily beat our economy is not something that the United States administrations, no matter if it's Democratic or Republican, will be even allowed to do. The banks will not allow it.
One of the major I don't want to call it sticking points because it goes, further beyond that, is the Israeli factor there, William, Mike Harris. I mean, one of the key things that Iran has is its support for Palestinians and their rights. And, of course, that obviously concerns or puts Israel into the equation. And it's a major difference that Iran has with the U.S., that is something that will not be ironed out, nor will Iran stop its support for Palestinians. How much of a factor does that play when it comes to the relationship of Iran and the U.S.?
Well, it's enormous, and it reflects on the influence that Israel has over U.S. foreign policy. It's a direct indicator there because Israel is scared to death that if they lose the support of the United States, Israel will cease to be in about 3 days. They'll be gone because everybody's afraid to push on Israel too hard because of the U.S. Obligation to it. But as far as an ally goes, the U.S. also has to do the calculus here. What is the U.S., what has Israel done for the U.S.? And, you know, I've been watching this thing my entire life. I mean, I've not seen anything that Israel has ever done for the U.S. in return. You know, they give us a little intelligence we could have gotten anyway, big deal. They've done nothing, and there is a school of thought within the defense and intelligence communities that Israel has become a liability and not an asset. And that school of thought needs to spread, and it is spreading. But that really is the key sticking point. And back to what Mr. Rickard said, you know, I am a bit of an idealist. I'm really hoping that the U.S. can break their paradigm of thought. But he is correct in that the U.S. and banking interests in particular are scared to death of losing control. So they would rather try to dominate other countries than try to work with them commercially. Because if we're successful with Iran and how they structure themselves and the independence that they show, the U.S. is afraid that the rest of the U.S. empire, the colonies out there, will show independence as well and want to be treated in the same manner. And that's one of the main reasons why they don't want to Iran to succeed. It's imperative that they do not, because others may become upstarts and want the same freedoms.
You know, I'm listening there to Mike Harris, Scott Rickard, talk about how Israel, many in the U.S. or a portion in the U.S. are seeing it as a liability. That almost goes synonymous with another ally of the U.S. in the region, and that is Saudi Arabia. Maybe, of course, time will tell, but maybe the U.S. will see that when it takes a look at some of its so-called allies, that perhaps Iran could be more of a stabilizing factor, even though right now they're saying that Iran is a destabilizing factor in the region, something which Iran not only denies but is confused as to how it's viewed that way.
Well, there's nothing to be confused about. You know, we use these terms, Israel and Saudi Arabia, alliedship, but let's talk about the real underlying issues here. This is a British Empire cooperative environment. These are quote-unquote allies that were formed out of the petroleum industry, out of the Zionist industry. This Zionist industry was very closely coupled with the financial infrastructure of the European banking infrastructure, has become incredibly embedded in the American religious and political and financial infrastructure. You don't have any one individual that's involved. You have over 70 million in the United States alone that are pro-Israel Zionists, and this goes everything from one of the highest banking environments, from J.P. Morgan. You have obviously Goldman Sachs. You have the Brookings on the left. You have the Cato Institute on the right. you have a tremendous amount of organization and structure that just goes beyond the imagination. It's unfathomable for most Americans to even understand the corruption that's going on. So to say that, you know, Saudi Arabia and these allied ships, these are absolutely business and banking relationships. They're geopolitical relationships that have gone back to the early 1900s and the founding of the oil industries in the United States. So I really don't believe that people really understand the structure in which they're dealing with. So I would say only just be aware that this has nothing to do with American creating freedom, democracy, or any of these things that they sell to the American people. This is a business, and this is a business that's run very brutally.
I'm going to give each of you 1 minute. Looking at the future relationship, Mike Harris, between Iran and the U.S., under the U.S. President Donald Trump, what course of action will they take? They're having in the next couple of days this, they don't call it an anti-Iran summit anymore, or meeting in Warsaw, but they have all these actions that are aimed at just basically destabilizing Iran or to make Iran uncomfortable on top of the sanctions. Where do you see the future go between these two countries?
Well, it's going to depend on how Iran responds. And I would recommend that the Iranians reach out and invite Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to come for a state visit as a guest, and to sit him down and say, look, enough of this bickering and fighting back and forth. We understand you have your interest, we also have ours. How can we compromise to the benefit of all? Because going to war and doing what General Wesley Clark said a number of years ago about toppling 7 countries in 5 years is nonsense. And Donald Trump has committed to no more foreign wars, no more foreign entanglements. So starting war is not going to be beneficial and supportive with his policy. It's a good time now to use that leverage that Iran has, take advantage of Trump being in office and saying, look, we want to talk, and get Pompeo over here so we can cut a deal of some kind. I don't know what it's going to look like, but that is the approach. Go with dialogue, be optimistic, because Iran has a lot to offer to the U.S.
Go ahead. And with that, the same question, Scott Rickert.
Well, certainly it would be nice if that would happen. Unfortunately, what you're seeing with the work that the United States is doing alongside the MKO and other organizations, anybody that they can work with, and the embedded nature of expats from the Shah's days that are not only within the American intelligence environment, they also operate in the American education system. I don't believe you'll see any of those types of things happening. I think you'll continually see the current status quo, I should say, for the attempt to overthrow and undermine the current government. The U.S. has been doing that over and over again. They've done it since the Rose Revolution with Saakashvili. They're doing it right now with Guaido in Venezuela. And that was actually started by the Democrats in around 2008, 2009. And certainly Donald Trump and his administration is just grasping it. And the Democrats under Pelosi are jumping right behind Trump in all of this interventionism in Venezuela. So sadly, right. I think, unfortunately, prepare yourself, because the Americans are going to continue.
Thank you for that. Former American intelligence linguist Scott Rickert. And thank you, editor of Veterans Today, Mike Harris. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitale, entire team in the capital, Tehran, is goodbye.